supporters of the unions here at AM 950, and it's my absolute privilege to welcome the following two presidents to our show. Grace Baltich is the president of AFSCME Local 34. Ali Furman is president of AFSCME Local 2822, and they're both kind enough to join us today to talk about the current situation as they in Hennepin County Social Services and clerical workers represented by the two unions have basically been in contract negotiations, and as a matter of fact, have turned down the latest offer from Hennepin County. Ali and Grace, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, man, for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Grace, we'll start with you. Why don't we explain to everyone when we talk about the Hennepin County Social Services clerical workers, who exactly are you representing?
Certainly. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for having us on AM 950. I'm a huge supporter.
Thank you.
So at Hennepin County Social Services and clerical workers, represented by my local AFSCME 34 and my sister local 2822, we represent folks who serve our community, social workers, public health nurses, human services representatives, child support officers, our clerical support staff, folks that work in the service centers that provide you with your tabs, your driver's licenses, folks that work in the libraries, folks that serve the community, not only the general public, but especially those that are most vulnerable amongst us.
Well, and you just lay, wow, this is, when you talk about this group of workers, these are insanely important workers and workers who are, by definition, frontline workers in this age of pandemic. I've always been a big supporter of the library, the folks, because I think they do a magnificent job. But as we talk about the people that give you the tabs, the social workers, all these different people, these are people that over the last 2 years have really put themselves on the line to keep the Hennepin County going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have, we have folks that were working in the COVID positive hotels. Working with our homeless population, trying to make sure that they were in safe housing that allowed them to socially isolate during this COVID pandemic. And, on the front lines, we have workers that just could not be working remotely, couldn't do their work from, another location. They were on site serving, our children, protecting them, our vulnerable adults in the community. We have staff at North Point Clinic in North Minneapolis serving in their COVID clinic and doing, testing on site. We have lots of people all over the place that are and have been, continue to be on the front lines, exposing themselves to COVID, not only themselves, but their family members as well. Mm-hmm. We really feel that Hennepin County has not it really honored that work that we do in serving the community and putting ourselves at risk.
Well, and Grace, let me step on in here, if I may. And Ali, let's bring you on in here. Let's talk a little bit about this. I mean, obviously, contract negotiations, a common thing with unions here. Talk about how things, with Hennepin County went off the rails here.
Well, we began bargaining this summer. Our contract expired at the end of the year. One of the primary issues at play is hazard pay and remote work stipends. So as Grace was outlining, our workers have been risking their lives since the very beginning of the pandemic. Many of our workers never got to go home the day everything shut down. The employer, Hennepin County, received nearly $500 million of COVID funding, the last installment of which was $246 million. President Biden himself identified hazard pay for frontline workers as one of the four primary uses of this money. Hennepin County has not spent a dime on hazard pay for its workers despite this enormous amount of money. They're also shifting costs onto our workers by having them work remotely. We are happy for those who can to work remotely, but many of our workers make $20 an hour and cannot afford a $100 bill every month for high-speed internet, cannot afford the dramatic increases we're seeing in housing heating costs. Everything's gone up, their water bill, everything. They are basically paying for the cost of doing business that used to be on Hennepin County. Meanwhile, they're canceling leases, selling businesses, or selling buildings, and really savings saving money on our backs.
And that's the part which I'm not a big fan of, is that, you know, you have to support the worker here, because these are the people that when it comes down to it are keeping the lights on and doing a lot of jobs, which a lot of, as you described them, as Grace described them at the beginning here, these are jobs which had to happen during a pandemic, and you need to come back and step up with that. The day and age, I get really tired of organizations and of governments and stuff like that when they sit there and say, well, we can't find people to work for them. Well, are you treating the worker right? Because right now, this is about treating the worker right. Your unions have gone out there, been the front lines, busted your buns, and done just amazing work over the last few years.
Right.
Let's talk about, Grace, let's talk about this contract that came up here. What was the main, we talked about hazard pay, not hazard pay, and then it was remote, was it remote learning pay or remote work pay that was a faulty there that Hennepin County wasn't stepping up with?
Right. So hazard pay and the remote work stipends, compensating employees for the shifting costs, shifted costs of business. You know, there are other issues at play as well, but I think it's really important to know that Hennepin County cannot, feign that they are poor in any by any means.
No.
The county has maintained a AAA bond rating from Moody and Poor's, Standard and Poor's and Moody, which is the highest rating available. And between their general fund and their Health and Human Services fund, they have $350 million in unrestricted assets, plus a separate $20 million contingency fund. All of this on top of the nearly $500 million that President Furman mentioned that the county has gotten, half of which, you know, ARP dollars was, you know, specifically designated that should be used for hazard pay for employees. So that's one of the biggest contentions. Certainly the cost of living, GSA, as some people call it, that the county has offered doesn't keep us up nearly with inflation. I'm sure you are very well aware, Matt, as well as our callers today. Inflation is near 7%.
Yeah.
You know, and the county might try to say, well, Hennepin County has really great benefits. While that is true, I'll tell you what benefits don't buy you. Benefits do not buy you groceries.
Food,
they
yes.
do not pay your transportation. They don't pay your mortgage. So we really need to see a better, offer for a cost of living adjustment that better helps us keep up with the cost of inflation.
And let's just call it what it is. You got to pay people what they're worth. And, you know,
we have
had 40 freaking years of cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. The reality is you're breaking your workforce over your knee. It's time to step up.
Yes.
And as you said, the Hennepin County, they're not exactly, you know, bone dry over there. They got the money to do this.
No.
Yeah.
They're not. And, you know, one thing that I'll additionally say is Hennepin County Board of Commissioners is supposed to be one of the most progressive county boards in all of Minnesota. You know, 6 out of the 7 county commissioners are supposedly progressives. But I tell you, I think they're acting like conservative, corporate employers. They try to spin the numbers to say, well, our wages have kept up with inflation. But they spin numbers.
Oh.
They say that, not only has our cost of living increases each year counted, but also your progression within the range. But I'll tell you, a better economic indicator of wage progression, wages being able to keep up with inflation, is looking at the salary range for any particular job.
Yeah.
If the top of your range isn't increasing, keeping up with inflation, those wages are being suppressed.
There's
a greater, a growing economic, income inequality. Plus, the county, over the last decade, has been nickeling and diming us, chipping away bit by bit at our wages and benefits, trying to not allow us to, progress faster through our wage scales, preventing us from being able to keep up with inflation, taking away benefits, slowly and slowly over time. And that's not what a progressive employer is supposed to be doing, right? Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be taking care of the people that take care of the community.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, and once again, it's compromise on a discussion like this. That's part of the deal. But you got to come forward with at least a decent offer on the front end. You can't just lowball everything and then say, hey, you got to compromise with that. You have to come forward. And like you said, it's business 101. If you're not raising your salaries in this age of inflation for even your top line workers, well, then guess what happens? They're going to leave and go get other jobs, and you're in a bigger problem than you have before. Once again, Grace Baltich is the president of Ask Me Local 34. Allie Furman is the president of Ask Me Local 2822. Allie, let's go back to you. You guys have an event tomorrow, it sounds like, and you're going to have a few of the local politicians out there as well, right?
Yeah, we're having a press conference tomorrow at the Government Center down in downtown Minneapolis from 12 to 1 p.m. on the North Plaza by the light rail station.
Yep.
So we're inviting major news outlets to talk about where we're at with negotiations, our upcoming mediation date, and then we're having informational pickets. It's not a strike, but kind of a dry run for a strike on the 19th if we do not come to an agreement on the 18th. So we're really looking forward to having Representative Ryan Winkler and John Hoffman, along with Senators Aaron Murphy, Aisha Gomez, and others join us in our call on Hennepin County to give us an offer that respects frontline workers.
And a lot of politicians there that are friends of the station here, I know, that are strong voices for the union out there, including Murphy and Hoffman for sure, as well as Ryan Winkler. Let's talk about once. All right, if we do get to this, God forbid, hopefully Hennepin County wakes up, realizes, okay, let's make a fair offer here and gets on the table, and we can get everyone back to work. That's what everyone wants. So let's hope that's the case. But if we are looking at a strike coming out here, let's talk about what Hennepin County will be like in that scenario, so people understand what's on the table here, because workers do deserve to get decent pay and decent cost of living increases to go match inflation. And if you're not, you got to make it, draw a line in the sand. What happens here? What would people expect? I mean, the libraries, obviously, we talked about that, possibly service centers as well. Would they all close down?
Yeah. We would, if we do not come to an agreement and if our unions decide to call for a strike, we would be shutting down the service centers, the libraries, all the services that our locals provide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing more important to us than the services we provide with residents. But there comes a point where we are the watchdogs of the community, right? We know where the money is going. We know what corners are being cut. We know what skeleton staffing levels do to the services we provide. And that's what we're seeing, is we're seeing cuts. And it's unacceptable. And it's not just cuts to us in terms of pay. It's cuts to community members. And so that's really the way we are very serious. We take this very seriously and know it's a very grave step to make. But we also know that they're not listening to us. You know, we do call-ins, we do emails, and they often respond with intimidation and trying to scare our workers from reaching out to their elected officials. And we just, if we are pushed to that point, you know, we're going to have to take the measure of calling on people to not go to work.
Well, and the reality is that that would be a pretty substantial impact. And the reality is that these workers have been out there, they've been asking for a fair contract, and they're just not getting it. One of the things, if you don't mind, Grace, because I think that sometimes what gets lost here is when you say Hennepin County social workers and clerical workers. I loved how you started off this interview. I want to just run through as many of these workers and what exactly they're doing in Hennepin County, so people understand the wide scope of what is at risk here if Hennepin County doesn't come up and put down a decent contract option.
Certainly. So, you know, I mentioned North Point Health and Wellness Clinic. We have medical assistants and case management assistants there that help treat patients, keep the flow of services going. We have child support officers So they process child support payments to make sure that families are getting the support that they need. We have child protection social workers that are keeping children safe in the community. We have adult protection social workers that are keeping our vulnerable adults safe in the community. By the way, that is one of our issues, is that our adult protection social workers should get paid the same as our child protection workers because they have equal, level of danger.
Yes.
Not to mention that there was just a child protection worker in Illinois that just got murdered. We see those same type of safety issues here in Minnesota as well for us in social services. But we have social workers and public health nurses that do assessments for what we call waivered services, so disability services, elderly services, that keep residents in their home in the community, keeping them safe there rather than having to go to a nursing facility or, a hospital. We have case managers that do mental health case management, people who are doing case management for those who we have in some of the, metro regional treatment centers, folks that are on some type of civil commitment, making sure that they are able to take care of themselves and get their mental health and chemical health needs met. We have folks that are authorizing the payment of chemical dependency treatment funds, so that people who don't have, are not lucky enough to have private health insurance that pays for chemical dependency treatment, can get the state funding to be able to go to treatment.
Mm-hmm.
We have HSRs, our human services representatives, who process and authorize, medical assistance eligibility for other types of financial supports, MFIP, general assistance, emergency assistance, people who are processing COVID housing funds. We have workers that do housing type of work, getting folks out of the shelters and into more permanent housing so that they are able to, meet their very basic needs, be able to be more stable, potentially get employment. We have a whole plethora of staff that directly serve the community. And that's, just human services alone, out of Sister President Furman's local, the libraries, our clerical support staff are in every department in the Hennepin County. And I think that so often our support staff go undervalued.
Yes.
But I tell you, if we do not have support staff, our jobs would be far more difficult, and there would be a lot that does not get done. I'm thankful for the support staff that we have in my own unit. Mm-hmm. Our folks that are giving our driver's licenses, our tabs, our birth certificates, marriage licenses, you name it. We are the people that serve the community. Hennepin mm-hmm. County works because we do.
Yeah.
And being in public service, we know we're not going to make a lot of money, right? We're not, on Wall Street. We're not in hedge funds. We're not doctors. We're not folks that make a lot of money. But at the same time, especially related to COVID, we didn't sign on the dotted line to take employment thinking our lives were going to be on the line, or that we would potentially be impoverished by taking this type of a job. It's not like law enforcement or going into the military where you know that you could potentially face life-threatening danger. That's part of why we are pressing so hard on this hazard pay from the $500 million that the county got from, federal COVID money to compensate us for the additional risks that we have had to face. And overall, we know that as a union, as public employees, we set the standard for all working Minnesotans. Not only just the Twin Cities, but we know far, beyond us throughout the whole state of Minnesota. And so when we are in negotiations, we think about that too, because not only does Hennepin County pattern bargain, but other employers also look at that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want general working people throughout the Twin Cities and the metro area to be able to have increases in their wages to keep up with inflation, be recognized for the COVID hazards that they've had on the job, it's clients that we serve, for them to be able to get jobs that keep up with cost of living, we know that we set the standard, and we are requesting that Hennepin County come back to the table with a better offer, one that we find more acceptable,
mm-hmm.
That we know is going to be beneficial not only to us as public employees, but everyone, every working Minnesotan, everyone in the community.
Grace, that just perfect. And I think you laid it out perfectly there. And like I said, I think that people need to understand that there's a lot on the line here. I mean, just think about birth certificates and marriage certificates alone that would all of a sudden dry up if a strike happened here. Allie, I'll give you the final word here. Once again, let's remind everyone where they need to be at tomorrow for the rally for the workers.
So it's a press conference tomorrow. It's 12 to 1 p.m. at the Hennepin County Government Center in downtown Minneapolis. Next Wednesday, anytime 10 to 2 p.m., Wednesday, January 19th, we're holding an informational picket at buildings across the county. But people can join us at Lake and Hiawatha, right by the light rail station in South Minneapolis, where we'll be picketing on our work breaks. In the event that we don't come to an agreement with the county next Tuesday.
Let's hope that doesn't come to this. Let's hope that they can feel some pressure and realize that, you know, it's time for you to step up here and show the members of AFSCME Local 2822 and AFSCME Local 34 that they deserve to at least be able to match up with the cost of living increases here, as well as also the we talk about the hazard pay. As we said, frontline workers, people, last 2 years they've been on the front line. They've had to be on the front line. They need to get the respect that they deserve. That's for sure. Grace and Allie, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time today.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
An absolute pleasure.